So as Rupert mentioned, we're reading from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, and you can find that on page 1186 at the back of your Bibles. So Thessalonians 1, chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work, produced by faith, your labor, prompted by love, and your endurance, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with a joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Cassandra, thank you very much for reading those words for us. Do keep your Bibles open on page 1186. That'll help us. We spent some time in 1 Thessalonians this morning. Something that also might help you is an outline of where we're going to be going. You can find that on the inside of your orders of service. Let me start by asking you a question. Here it is. How do you know you're a Christian? What things can you look to tell whether your faith is genuine or not? Where can you go to find assurances when your faith is wavering? Well, questions like that, they were live issues for the church in Thessalonica. If you were with us last week as we looked at the background to this letter of how the church was started, you'll know that it happened in a three-week whirlwind. Paul and Silas and Timothy went around in a handful of days telling people the good news about Jesus. And as they did this, there was great excitement as many came to put their faith in Jesus. But there was also great opposition from those who didn't want to hear what they were saying. And things had got so bad that 3 weeks after arriving, Paul and his companions had to flee under cover of darkness because there was threat of mob violence and riots against them. And Paul and Silas and Timothy, they escape, they make it out alive. But this new church with its baby Christians is left scratching its head, wondering what's just happened to them. And there are loads of questions running through their mind, and they're looking around for assurance. And that assurance is something they get at the start of this letter of 1 Thessalonians. Because although it looks just like a part of the Bible, originally, it would have come on a sheet of parchment as a letter. Now, in Paul's day, you didn't start your letter by saying, "Dear Fred, blah, 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 best wishes from David." That's not how you wrote your letters. You sort of front-loaded a lot of things before you got to the main body of your letter. And that's what we see in that first verse that Cassandra read for us. Have a look with me at verse 1. So, from Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you, which is their way of saying best wishes. It's So Paul gets all of that out of the way, and then he moves on to the main bit of the letter, the important things he wants them to know. And it's here that we find the assurances that they so desperately needed. As Paul tells them some of the things he's been praying for them, some of the things he's been thanking God for them. And we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning in these verses. And it may be that you're here this morning and actually your needs are very similar to this new church. You're looking around for assurances, wondering if your faith is genuine. Well, if that's you, my hope is that you'll find assurances as we look at these verses together. Or it may be that you're here this morning and you're in a really good place spiritually. You're sure of your faith, you're confident in Jesus. Well, if that's you, my hope is that as we look at these things, you'll be really thankful for God's work in your life. In fact, as Paul was thankful for the Thessalonians. Or it may be that you're here this morning and you're certain of one thing, and that's that you're not a Christian. Well, if that's you, you're very welcome with us here at St. Peter's this morning. And my hope as we look at these words from the Bible is that you might see what it is to be a Christian. Indeed, how you might become a Christian yourself. So before we look a bit more at these words, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, asking God to help with those things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it gives us what we need as your people. And so we pray for any this morning in need of assurance that they would find it in these verses from 1 Thessalonians. Pray for those who can join in Paul's thankfulness for the fruit of faith, that we might see that in our lives and the lives of our church family and do as Paul was and thank God for them. And for any new to Christian things, please this morning might you show them what it is to be a Christian and what it would look like for them to trust Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, you'll see on that outline I mentioned the headings that we're going to look at this prayer under. And the first of them at the top there is this. Paul thanked God for the Thessalonians because the gospel, the good news about Jesus, had changed them. This comes in verses 2 and 3. I'm going to read those verses again for us. Paul writes, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." In these verses, Paul thanks God that the gospel has made a difference in the Thessalonians' lives. It's not just something that they say they believe. It's something that has changed them to the core. You see, their faith in Jesus, well, it led to them doing good works. And the love for others that the gospel had stirred up within them prompted them to labor for others. And the hope that they had in Jesus, well, it inspired in them endurance through pain and suffering. And Paul is aware of these things in the life of these Christians, and he thanks God for them. And we here at St. Peter's, we should do the same when we see signs of life in our church family. We're to be thankful for those who hit the streets earlier, as Angus was earlier with our "What Do You Want Most?" survey. Something to be thankful for because it shows that we're a church family that believes the hopes and dreams of Fulham can be found, can be met in Jesus. And not only believes that, but does something about it, reaches out in faith into our community to share this good news with them. And we're to be thankful for those who've labored to provide food very practically for Maeve and the boys following Jeff's death. And they've done that prompted by love for the Russell family, something we can be thankful for as a church. And indeed, we can be thankful for the endurance that Maeve and the boys have shown in the face of suffering, that hope that they have has inspired endurance in them. There are loads of things like this, signs of life in our church family, of the gospel making a difference that we can be thankful for. And we should do that. We should do that for our church family, but for us as individuals, where we see those signs in our own lives, they're great assurances to us, assurances that our Christian faith is genuine. That's how Paul starts. He starts by thanking God for the Thessalonians because the gospel has changed them. And then he thanks God because he knows that these Christians have been chosen by God. Have a look with me at verse 4. It's how he goes on. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And then he goes on to give three reasons for that. And the first of them comes straight away in verse 5. We know that he has chosen you, verse 5, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Paul knows that these believers have been chosen by God because the gospel message came to them with power. It came to them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul wanted the Thessalonians to know that belief in the gospel, the deep conviction he speaks of here, that's something that is brought about by the Spirit of God. You see, you can't believe the gospel if the Spirit isn't at work in your life. And the Spirit, well, he only works in those whom God has chosen. So if you're believing the gospel, the Spirit's at work. It's a sign that God has chosen you. And Paul wanted the Thessalonians to be encouraged by that. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't have that privilege. I came to faith at university. A good friend of mine now, a guy called Mark, he very patiently over many weeks explained the gospel to me, this good news about Jesus. He was very patient because there were very many occasions when his speaking of the gospel came just with words. That was all it had. It did simply come with words. As Paul said, it didn't happen for the Thessalonians. You see, I understood what he was saying. I could probably have told you what Christians believed. I just didn't believe it myself. It wasn't true for me. I couldn't see it was true. But one day, as we sat down for a coffee, something very different happened. His explanation of the gospel didn't just come to me with words. It came with power, as the Holy Spirit convicted me that what Mark was saying, what he was explaining from the Bible, was true. And I'm really thankful to God for that moment, because I can look back on it and it assures me that he has chosen me. He has enabled me to believe his gospel. That's the first reason Paul gives for the Thessalonians being chosen by God, that the gospel came to them with power. And then secondly, he knows that they've been chosen by God because they rejoiced despite suffering. Let's pick things up halfway through verse 5. Paul writes, "You know how we lived among you and among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering and with a joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." Now, as I said at the start, there was lots of opposition in Thessalonica to this gospel message about Jesus that had come to them, that Paul and Silas and Timothy had brought. And they themselves, well, they'd suffered as they had proclaimed the gospel, leading to them being chased out of town. And here's what Paul wants the Thessalonians to know. He wants to remind them that they had believed, knowing that this was around the corner for them. And in fact, that they continued to believe when they faced this sort of suffering themselves. We saw something of this in the passage that we were looking at last week. I'm going to read some of those verses again. Are they coming up on the screen so you can follow along? Wonderful. This is what happened at the end of Paul's whistle-stop tour of Thessalonica, those mad 3 weeks. Acts chapter 17. Let me read. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying there is another king, one called Jesus. And when they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they put Jason and the others on bail, and they let them go. Jason and the other believers, they had a really rough time because of their newfound beliefs. And here's the thing, you don't go on to believe something that isn't true under these sorts of conditions. That would be a really weird thing to do, a really unnatural thing to do. But more than that, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, they didn't just endure it, they rejoiced in it. Now, rejoicing in suffering is certainly not a natural thing to do. In fact, as Paul tells us, it's a supernatural thing. How you can only do that if that joy is given to you by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul wanted the Thessalonians to know, he'd want us to know, that if you are rejoicing in the gospel despite suffering for it, well, that's a sign of you being chosen by God. So when you're shouted down in the office for trying to say something to a colleague about Jesus, or when you find that your family are distancing themselves from you because of your faith, or when friends are appalled at the biblical position you take on some contemporary issue, if in those situations and others like them, you have joy in the gospel despite suffering for it, well, Paul wants you to know you can be reassured, you can be thankful, because it's a sign that God has chosen you. It's a sign that your faith is genuine. Paul knows the Thessalonians have been chosen by God, first, because the gospel came to them with power, second, because they rejoiced despite suffering, and third, because they shared the message with others. Now, this is unlike suffering with joy. This is a completely natural thing to do. You tell other people about what is important to you, from the little things like the new neighborhood haunt you've discovered, to the ups and downs of your football team, to news of your friends and family, your nearest and dearest, to the really big things in life, things that completely change the way you live, as the Thessalonians had found with the gospel, something that completely changed the way that they lived. Have a look with me in verse 8. Paul speaks of this change here, this telling others here. Verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. The map coming up on the screen. You can see Thessalonica's up at the top of the map. It was the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia. And Paul is writing this letter right down at the bottom of what we now call modern-day Greece, in Athens, down in, as it was then known, the Roman province of Achaia. And he's writing, having journeyed all the way down through Berea, through Macedonia, through Achaia, down to Athens. And everywhere he's traveled across modern-day Greece, he's heard people speak of the Thessalonians' Christian faith. So effusive have they been about it, that word has spread everywhere. And it's been so strong, as he goes on to say in verse 8, therefore we did not need to say anything about it, about your faith, for they, those we met, they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. The message from a message of the gospel spread out from Thessalonica. And Paul wants these Christians to know that this is a sign that their faith is the real deal. That sharing your faith is a sign of genuine faith. And Paul is thankful for that sign of life in this baby church. And it's something I'm massively thankful for about us as a church family. Maybe not quite every week, but certainly every month. I meet someone who's new to London or who's passing through, whether they're from the north of the country or the south, or indeed from across the world, from everywhere. People come here to St. Peter's because they've heard of our faith. They know that if they come to St. Peter's, they will meet genuine Christians, to spend time with and to be encouraged with. And Paul says that's something we can be thankful for as a church family. Paul thanks God for the Thessalonians because the gospel has changed them and because God has chosen them. And he does this, as we've been thinking about, because the gospel came to them with power, because they rejoice despite suffering, and because they share the message with others. He's told them these things. He's been saying, I've been thanking God for you because of these things, to encourage them that their faith is genuine, that these signs make that crystal clear. This gospel message has made a real difference in the lives of these believers. But you may be wondering, well, what message is it? What message makes such a difference to people's lives? And that's what we see in verse 9 of our reading. As Paul tells the Thessalonians what he's heard about them as he's travelled through Macedonia and Achaia, he writes these words, picking up halfway through verse 9. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Hear the gospel message. Paul says that those who turn from idols to serve the living and true God, those who trust that Jesus will rescue them from the coming wrath, well, they'll be saved. They have a hope. Let's go through that a bit more slowly. They turned from idols, these Thessalonians. Now, for them, it might have been a literal idol, a statue that looked something like this. We've got a picture. There we go. It might have been a literal idol. Here are some Greek idols. A statue of the god that they would have worshipped. Well, not many of us have idols like that around our home that we worship, but there are things that are similar. It might be money or status or power for us. And we may never say that we worship those things in our lives, but actually our behavior towards them is remarkably similar to worship. And Paul says that the Thessalonians, they turned from idols to serve the living and the true God. That is the God of the Bible, the God who is alive, not just some inanimate statue made by human hands or something else we've made up like money. And the Bible's word for this is repenting. They repented of their own way of life. They turned their back on it and turned to God. They repented and they had faith. That is, they trusted that Jesus would rescue them from the coming wrath. The coming wrath is God's right and settled anger at the way that we worship created things instead of him, the creator. And this rescue that is spoken of here, it's a rescue that is entirely undeserved and yet that is offered entirely without cost to us. The free gift that we just need to trust in to receive. Paul says that those who turn from idols to serve the living and true God, those who trust Jesus, will be rescued from the coming wrath. And this message, that gospel message, it changes lives. Having faith in Jesus to rescue us without us needing to contribute anything, well, it produces works of gratitude in our lives. It's a joy to serve the living God, reflecting on what he has done for us. And knowing God's love for us in making this undeserved rescue bid for us. Well, that grows our love for others. We're able to love others unconditionally, and it prompts us to labor for them. And then trusting that Jesus will rescue us from the coming wrath, well, it gives us a sure and certain hope for the future, which can inspire hope and endurance in the present. This gospel message, it changes lives. It has changed lives here at St. Peter's. It could change your life. It could give you certain hope for the future, a purpose in the present, and joy amidst all the things that life throws at you. And if you're one of those for whom this gospel message has changed your life, well, you can be reassured that you're a genuine Christian. And that's something to thank God for. And that's something that I'm going to do now. Let me lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that the good news about your Son, Jesus Christ, is something that changes lives for the better. Thank you that faith in him produces good works. It's recognizing his love for us helps us to labor for others. And that it inspires hope. Hope for the future, hope that enables us to endure all that this life has to throw at us. Father, thank you for signs of life like that in our church family here at St. Peter's. Please, would they be a reassurance and an encouragement to us. And Father, for any who haven't yet put their trust in Jesus, please would you help them to see what he offers us. Hope for the future and purpose in the present. Please make that attractive to them, and please would your Spirit help this gospel message come to them with power. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.